Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Really what I was going to share tonight. I've been discipling during the pandemic when it first started. I had no clue what I was supposed to be doing. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm not doing anything. And you know, I can't do that. So he began to remind me, hey, you need to disciple your family. So I called up my sisters and I said, hey, how would you guys like to study the Word of God? And two out of three said, yeah. So we got to the book of Hebrews a couple of weeks ago. And I've been in love with Jesus since I was 18. I got born again at 18, and I continuously read the Bible beginning on. Once I got done, I kept going. And there's something about having that overview of the Word. You know, you don't just have one little piece of it. I mean, like, who can eat one tiny piece of chocolate cake? Be real, okay? All right? You know, you get a pandemic view, right? But then, you know, we're talking about Jesus in the book of Hebrews, and I couldn't go any further. I'm like, sisters, stop. We can't speed race through this. I said, it is all about Jesus. It really is. It's all about Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about just really as briefly as possible tonight. I'm going to avoid reading a bunch of stuff simply because the time is limited. And there's so much here. So much. This is more than concentrated soup. You know, this is... So let's open up to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. I am not really going to be reading much scripture to you. I'm just going to be sharing some thoughts that I'd like you to meditate on it. It's been blowing my mind. The more I meditate, the deeper I go, and the more I just want to lay on the floor and weep because of the beauty of Christ. He is beautiful. Hallelujah. So, no one's quite sure, other than we know that the author of the book of Hebrews is the Holy Spirit. No one's really sure. I mean, God knows who the actual human writer that simply took notes as the Holy Spirit dictated. But we see that the Father wanted us to have a clearer view of who Jesus is. In the Gospels, we see Jesus as our Savior, as our Redeemer, and that revelation is magnificent. We get a little glimpse of him as God when we see him heal the sick or walking on the water. You know, you're like, oh, this is great, you know. But still, we see him as Jesus. We see him as Jesus in his human body, and we look at him from that point of view. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just want us to see him as that. Because especially in these end times, we're going to have to understand that there's a greater understanding and revelation, because there's a part of a verse we're going to talk about tonight that says, if we walk with him in his suffering. See? That's a very important part of your fellowship with Jesus. And we're just going to get briefly there. So in the Gospels, we see him as Messiah. We see him as Savior, the Son of God. And in the book of John, we get a little bit in chapter 1 of him as that. That's what John reveals, is Jesus as God. You know, especially that first chapter. In Philippians 2:10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's a door. I always think in pictures. I memorize places, people's faces by pictures. So I have this file of pictures in my mind. So I'm constantly, when I'm reading the Word of God, getting these little glimpses and pictures. And the book of Hebrews is like walking into the throne room, seeing just the glory of God just smacks the very inner part of your being and you just hit the floor. And that's a little bit of what I want the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit wants to do tonight, is that we open the door, who is Jesus, and we walk through that door, and then we just worship him. Because that's all we can do. And this is talking about even his enemies will bow at the name of Jesus because of the magnificence of the glory of God upon him. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." And that's what we do every time we come to church, every time we open our Bible. It's like sitting across the table from Jesus. And he's life. It's like putting your hand into the very essence of life. Light is life, and you just put your hand into it. It's that deep fellowship where you look into his eyes, and you get completely immersed. You get completely drowned in his love and the revelation of who he is. In the same chapter, chapter 4, verse 1 in Revelation, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven." It's an invitation. Come. Know him. Know him. Don't know about him. Know him. Walk in him, the very essence of the being of God. Now, Jesus is the door, and he invites us to know him. I sit with him for a moment. We sit with him in times of periods. We live in this outer world, and we get so distracted by this world and what goes on, and it keeps dragging on our attention and pulling on us, right? But you just sit. And when you sit, it's like you enter eternity, and time stops. You come out of time into eternity, and everything is quiet. Everything is peaceful, and you can begin to hear him. And this is what he wants us to do. This is what is going to help us make it to the end, to complete the assignments that we have upon this earth. Hebrews 1, verse 1. It says, "God in the past spoke to us through the prophets in various ways." And having read, I know that all of you have read the Old Testament, and we know that God spoke to mankind by visions and dreams, and even face to face, revealing his plans little piece by little piece. So none of the stories, even that of the example of Moses, is really complete. It was each a little bit of the revelation of God. A long time ago, I had this dream because I asked God, I said, "Lord, I want to understand your personality." And he shows me this diamond a little taller than myself and cut your typical diamond shape, multifaceted, tiny little triangular diamond shapes all over. And I stood before one part, and he said, "Can you see any other part than what you're looking at?" And I said, "No, sir, I can't." And he said, "Move around." And I could only see that part. But he is multifaceted, and the word, as you read the word bit by bit, as you grow in the word, you begin to see more and understand more. And you're just drawn into him. And so we see that in the Old Testament or in times past, he spoke to us through the prophets. But it says in verse 2, but in these last days, or present days, or New Testament days, or church days, God speaks to us by his Son. God speaks to us by his Son. God speaks to us by his Son. You must keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't get distracted by any other thing. Don't let the enemy will try everything, all right, to distract you. It says, but in these last or present days, God speaks to us by his Son. And we're going through just some quick points. The first point is, when he was appointed heir of all things. Let's stop for a moment and meditate just briefly on that heir of all things, which means he was predestinated the Lord of the universe. Think about it. This is not, oh, let's push Jesus aside. Everybody says God. Even if they're not talking about the true God, we use the word God. But we're talking here about Jesus. And there is a problem with Jesus because Jesus was the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So there's where the line gets drawn, is at the name of Jesus. And it's at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. He is the appointed lawful owner of all of creation. And one thing I shared with Pastor Khan is, you know, you talk about inner space and you talk about outer space, and it's infinite. Sound, the sound of my voice, the sound of Jesus's voice, sound never quits being carried. So that this very sound, when God said, let there be, it's continuing. It's infinite. And I believe the same thing about inner space, that when you get on your microscope and you start looking and you look deeper, it's not been that many years since we had the microscope. We had the electronic one, right? But there's more. There's more. I believe it's infinite. So here we are, and Jesus is the owner, the appointed owner of all, of everything. So we're not talking about little Jesus. In Romans 8, 12 through 17, it states that if we are children of God, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Here we come. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And we're getting into Holy Week next week. On my little class, Friday's our last day, and so we're in the pre-Holy Week. So we go through it at school, then they go to church, and they get it there, right? But here we are. All right. And we're entering the remembrance. And we see how he suffered. And you could look and you could say, well, it looks like Jesus wasn't the winner. He died. How is that being the hero? Ha. We got it wrong. We think too like the world. We got it wrong. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father, far above all. You know, looking at Jesus and what he suffered, see, I don't know where we got off track about we're not supposed to suffer. How can we know Jesus if we don't fellowship with him in the fellowship of his sufferings? All right? And I'm not saying, you know, God makes you sick. I'm not saying any of that. False doctrine. I'm not saying any of that. I'm talking about loving Jesus and suffering like you have a target on your back, like everywhere you go and open your mouth about Jesus, people ain't liking it. You know, I'm talking about with our brothers and sisters over there in Ukraine going through. There is a huge revival in Ukraine. There are many believers in Ukraine, and this started in the spirit over that revival. That's the fellowship of his suffering. That's being able to stand alone by yourself in him. And you're never alone. We're never alone. That's the most amazing part. The day we're born of God, we're never alone for any part of eternity at all. All right? So we see that we are joint heirs, and that if indeed we're joint heirs, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together, together with Christ. What did he say? He said, I will not drink of this wine again until I drink it with you in heaven. We will be glorified together with him. Okay? Then the next point that is brought up in these verses here, the first five, says, through whom he also made the worlds. Okay? So we go from heir of all things to creator of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Now that word worlds can be understood as ages, or the universe, or all orders of created existence, or this world of time. Okay, that's how those, but let's go to Genesis 1:1, but John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We go to Genesis chapter 1, and what do we see? And God created, and he spoke, and he spoke, and he spoke. Watch the words you speak, O child of God. As my mother-in-law would say in Spanish, every head is a world. The way that you think is the world you live in. Mm-hmm. So do you live in the natural world or the supernatural world? Do you live by the word of God or do you live by the word of man? So he made all things by the spoken word. In verse 3, we say that he is the radiance of God's glory, of what all created things seek for, existence, life, and being. Let's look at that again. He is the radiance of God's glory. My son last weekend went and bought some plants. We come from a farming family. We love plants. We like dirt. Dirt and plants. And he brought them in on a cold day, and I'm like, don't plant them today, right? He buys the bird feeders and all this stuff, and I'm like, dude, it's raining. Don't put it outside. The birds don't like soggy seeds, right? But he's so excited. So we put, but he's like, Mom, these plants are already been outside. I'm like, well, our house is really cold, so just stick it in the hallway by the window. It's going to be fine. It's going to think it's outside, you know? So everything is in blossom. I have a picture on my phone if you want to see later. Everything's on a blossom, but before that, like a month before that, don't buy Chinese garlic. Okay, so they bleach it and plant it in sewer water. Do not buy it. Okay, so go to a store that sells American garlic. And I'll tell you why I'm actually, you know, not saying that it's bleached and grown in sewer water. I put it inside my cabinet. I'm always cooking, so I don't close the cabinet until I go to bed at night. So my cabinets are open. You would think a tornado is in my kitchen. It's me, all right? So I put the garlic on the shelf. I have a window, but there's a window, and then there's this open shelf, and then the garlic is on the shelf, right? And I leave it there, you know, blah, 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 take pieces, cook for a couple of days, and all of a sudden, the thing is growing by itself, not even in the sun. oh, there's life in that. That's not sewer water garlic. Okay, there's life in it. Now we have garlic all over our house, and we do smell like a very Italiano family. Oh, my goodness, garlic everywhere. The kids are like, why does it smell in here? We'll take a look what's growing on the windowsill, garlic, right? But anyway, everything in the plants right now, because they're in season, they're growing. A light bulb receives its light from the filaments inside the bulb, but it glows out and we feel its heat. The sun, the perfect example. We can't really see the sun. We can only see the light of the sun. This is what it means that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. And that radiance brings life. Like I said, I don't know what was wrong with me as a kid, but I needed light, probably vitamin D, right? So laying there with my winter coat wide open in the snow going, oh, I feel so good. This is wonderful. All right? But it reminds me that's exactly what we do. We come to church. We worship. And why do we feel so good? Because we're radiated. We're radiated with the presence of God. He causes even the cells of our body to quicken. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it quickens, it makes alive, it grows our mortal bodies. And the more that we're there in the Word and in the presence of God, we have this radiance that is quickening us, that's radiating our cells without any damage. All right? And then it says, and he is the very expressed image of God's person. The little kids are always asking, what does God look like, Sister Debbie? And the reason they do that is they wanted to know how old I was. And I told them, well, I was created on day 6, right? I was created on day, well, what does God look like, Teacher Debbie? I must look like Ancient of Days, right, to them. But anyway, I love it. You know, but it says, and the express image of God's person, the flawless expression of the nature of God. Jesus is the flawless expression of the nature of God, the very image of God's substance. And we go to the book of Genesis, we go to chapter 2, and it says that God created man in his likeness and image. And that is who we are. That's what Pastor Khan was saying. He said, when you worship, that's who you are. See? The very image and nature of God. So quit looking at anything else. Stop looking at anything else. It's only going to pull you down. Look at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Look at him. That's who you are. He is the express image, and you are made after his likeness. You have his nature. Yes, we fall down. You know, in order to learn, I teach right now just grammar school from 4-year-olds all the way up to 8th grade, right? And, you know, they make so many mistakes. So, but it's part of learning. I'm like, quit crying. They're all girls. Drama. Oh, my goodness. It's drama every day. I'm like, Lord, next year, could I have a class of boys? Less drama, but more play and distraction. But anyway. And here they are, you know, they can't get it right the first time. Oh, I'm like, stop. Now I'm learning to ignore it. I'm like, you're wasting time. What are you crying for? And then if you keep crying, you're going to have a lot of homework. They're like, oh, you're right. And they quit crying. Who wants homework? It's not cry at home, you know. All right, don't waste time. Anyway, in order for us to learn, a couple of really powerful things. First of all, we are not God, and that we cannot save ourselves, and that we always need him more. The more mature in Christ you are, the more you know you need him in every area, every moment of your life. Don't even try to do something on your own unless you want a good... my mom always said, if you do something wrong, it's going to come around and bite you in the butt. I don't know how to express that any other way, but if you do it the wrong way, it's going to get you. And so just follow the leading of God. And if you mess up, oh, well, God, you know, we don't beat our children because they fall down when they're learning to walk, and neither does God. So we're going to make a lot of mistakes, but that's what the father-child relationship is about, learning the love of the Father. So anyway, he upholds all things, and this is all. This is, I mean, you at each of these areas, you could sit for a very long time and meditate. And as you meditate on his word, then everything that you have studied will begin to open up to you, and you'll begin to understand the principles behind every scientific thing. And then you'll be able to find out what is a lie and what is the truth. And it all starts in the word. He upholds all things by the word of his power. In other words, he regulates the universe by the might or the power of his command. He maintains, he guides. This is why, you know, someone said a long time ago that if God changed his nature or ceased to be God, you know, we think, oh, can God do everything? Trick question. No, he can't. He cannot lie. Because if he lies, then his nature is changed, and then everything falls apart, and it's the truth. So there are several things that God cannot do. He cannot change his nature. He cannot change his character. He cannot change who he is. He is who he is. That's why he calls the great I am. All right, great I am. Anyway, so we see that it's by the word of his power. Are you beginning to see how powerful his word are? We're so used to going by our five senses. But when we push aside our five senses and go and begin to look at him who created those senses and go further and deeper, then we begin to see things like he sees things. See? All right, we got to go further. Don't let the physical block your vision. All right, don't let it block your vision. But he upholds everything. You think about the whole molecule thing, you know, when you have to go through the whole physics thing and you got to learn all that stuff, you know. So where all these molecules, you know, where they come from and how they vibrate and all that jazz. Okay, so you're like, but it's energy and it's power. And where does the energy and power come? It comes from the express nature of God. Who is the express nature of God? Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Word made flesh. Watch your words, my fellow brothers and sisters. Speak what God speaks. I'm saying, Lord, please help me. I don't want to speak not one word of my own, because every word I speak is dumb. But every word you say is amazing and full of life. Now, it says, when he had by himself, now that's very important, by him, he doesn't need our help for salvation. You cannot do anything to earn salvation. Now, once you're born again, you do good works because the good God is in you and you can't help it. I'm a farmer. I can't hide it. I got to have my hands in the dirt. My neighbors know. You know, you are who you are. And when he had by himself purged our sins, accomplished our cleansing of sin and the riddance of guilt. You don't have to be guilty. Oh, my God. I remember the very first sin I committed that in my brain was mom made homemade chocolate chip cookies. And she said, Debbie, don't eat them before you eat lunch. She walked out of the room. I ate four. And then she walked. And that wasn't the bad part. The bad part was I'm a four-year-old. And she says, did you eat any cookies? No, Ma. Crumbs all over my shirt, no, all right? But you know what? In Christ, there's no guilt. There's no condemnation. See, all of that, it really is dead. That past life is dead. Even your sin now, Jesus has accomplished the cleansing of that. And not that the more that you love Jesus, the more that when you do something wrong, it really bugs you. But you can't wallow in it because that doesn't glorify God either. And it takes up time. It's like crying when you're going to have homework, okay? It's not going to help. It's going to make you have more homework. You don't want to do it. And I learned those practically when I did something wrong and I'm crying for 3 days in a row. And God says, what are you doing? You're not glorifying me. And I'm like, oh, you're right. And I quit. Just like my students. Oh, I don't want to have more homework because I cried, okay? Now, the rest of chapter 1 establishes Jesus' superiority to angels and to Moses, which was a real big thing for the Jewish people. And I'm not going to go into that's the part that I'm going to push aside, but if you are exalting angels, you're going to want to read it. If you really don't understand the connection between Moses and Jesus, you're going to want to read it. But for the sake of focusing on Jesus alone in the way that we understand it as Gentile believers, as New Testament believers, we're going to just stop right there, and we're going to move just really quickly to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Why? Because it flows with what we're saying. And this is really the end of what I have to say. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. I want you to hear that again, because this is the battle that's always in us. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, to the truth that we have been told, to the truth that we read here in the Word. Let us not be diverted from the truth like Eve was. The more that I meditate on the sin, when God told them, do not eat the tree of that knowledge of good and evil, because the day that you do, you will die. I understand death better. I understand sin better. But I also begin to understand that we drift back there when we're not in our words. And I caution you greatly. Get in your word, stay in your word, keep going in the word, in the word. I'm not talking about listening to every preacher on TV. Forgive me, but I'm going to be bold and I'm going to talk because I love you. And because I don't listen to, you know, the preachers that I listen to most are Pastor Pam and Pastor Ken. And then it's my word, and then it's my word, and then it's my husband. Oh, sorry. But that's him. If he's awake, his mouth is moving, and it's all about Jesus every moment of every day. Or he's telling me how to cook something wonderful. Those are the two topics. But anyway, so therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, unless or least we drift away, distracted from the truth. That is really, you know, there was a refinement that went on during the pandemic. There was a test and there was a refinement. Even though we could not be together, we could not come together as the church in a building, what did we do? Only you and the Lord know whether you passed that test or you drifted. Many believers drifted. I want to say something. No, maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. Holy Spirit, what should I do? The political spirit is not the spirit of Jesus. I say it again. The political spirit is not the spirit of Jesus. We follow Jesus. We follow no earthly leader. We follow Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords. His word is true. Let every man be a liar, but Jesus is the truth. And I want you to hear that deeply. And I'm not trying to offend anyone or anyone's political view. I really like, you know, whatever. You know, Jesus. He's my king. This is the country I live in, but he loves the whole world. I love the whole world. We all affect one another. And no man has the right answer. No man apart from Christ has any answer. All right? So that's all I have to say about politics. But the battle is over the word. The battle is over the word. The battle is over the word. So when you're sick, the battle is over the word. What are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Seriously. I'm going to tell you something. I was challenged on this. When I had my issue, which really was I had some kind of weird tumor, giant tumor, on my ovary. Just exploded my ovary, and I did not go to the doctor until the very end when the Holy Spirit says, you're not going to the doctor, you're going to Christ. You're not going to the hospital, you're going to Christ. I had no insurance. They let me in like I was royalty. I'm telling you, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. And I'm not saying that you should have my experience. No. Jesus prepares every experience that we're, every test, okay? So they're individual. They're the same point. It's like I give the same test to all the levels from the fourth graders to the eighth graders, but at different levels. Talk. Slides here. Right? Jesus does the same thing. It's the same test. Because for levels, you know, the answer is still always Jesus, but the way that you come, the answer, the thing of the may be like different. Right? It's all good. It's all him. Right? But the thing is, I am body full of it. Actually, in the end, it was 7 gallons of fudge. Right? Now, my students were such a blessing during time. I have a million stairs to walk up every day. I had to crawl up the stairs when I was that big. And I would, my husband, he went through so much because he's looking. He's not feeling, he's looking. So I would sit somewhere, and my legs with puddles on the floor. Wrapped my legs would be my breath at 4 hours. And my baby got too big. Stood for me. I taught the little nurses. They can bandage each other really well. All right, they'll be really good nurses on the battlefield one day. So anyway, you know, and the whole thing was, what was my husband and I going to do as I leaked puddles on the floor? Whose word was I going to believe? The Holy Spirit, I would say, what do I do about this? The flesh of my legs smell like raw meat, and I know what that smells like. What do I do? Go sit in the bathtub. And I did, and I ran living water over those legs. And it hurt so bad. But you know what? He said, praise me. Praise me. So what can wash away my sin? And oh God, I was in pain. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I get into those old songs. And I have, if anyone's looking for the old hymnals, don't tell anybody, but I have like 8 of them. But I use them at school, okay? They were giving them away. I grabbed as many. Me and Willie, we split them. I don't know if he kept his, but mine are hidden. They're treasures. And we use them. Okay. And you know what? And I just kept, I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how it's going to be. But I'm going to keep, and every 4 hours, these baby diapers, I would just, there would be, you could squish them. And it would just keep going. But in the end, all was well. They had me on dialysis. I kept telling the doctors, don't worry about it. Well, we don't know. I had dialysis 3 times, horrible stuff. Anyway, I have great compassion at anyone who has to go through dialysis. Anyway, but they're like, oh, we don't know if your kidneys are coming back. Because at that point, I think it was 14%. My kidneys were only 14%. And they were like, oh, we got to do a dialysis. Whatever you have to do. I was just like, Jesus, I'm yours. Do what you have to do. I'm done. I believe you. Do whatever you got to do. I know I'm going to come out of this. And he did. And I did. And my kidneys are fine. Nothing's wrong. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. But it's not Debbie. I believed his word, and I followed whatever directions he gave me. See, I would go, what do I do for this? Got to be a point I couldn't eat. What do I eat, Lord? Nothing. I have room for nothing. I'm full of water. I have room for nothing. You know, my heart was way up here. My lungs were in a little box because of, you know. What do I do, Lord? He said, royal honey. Oh, and that's what I ate till the very end, was just a little bit of royal honey, bee honey, and it gave me enough energy. I was still climbing up the stairs and teaching school, even though I cooked my husband's dinner by sitting on a chair next to the stove. Whose word are we going to believe? I was willing to die standing on his word. One life to live. Let us live it for him. Oh, well. Gee, I made a mistake. I'm in heaven. Oh, well. Yay, I graduated. Right? Oh, well. Oops. Didn't get that quite right. Seriously, how can you go wrong? We got to remember who he is. I used to be a nurse a long time ago. And we'd have to call surgeons because someone would come in and something was always sticking out of the body or a big hole leaking blood everywhere. And we'd call the surgeon. Guess where the surgeon was? Across the street in the bar. And when he came in, he was half drunk, but he did surgery. Or the younger ones, they're sitting there playing video games like your kids. And then they're going to do surgery on you. They're human. They're not God. They're human beings. And we trust God, right? We trust God, you know, because we don't know. I mean, as a nurse, you know what these guys have been doing. You know, you see them, right? So, you know, you're not in that place where you trust man. You trust God. You know, I don't even want to go into so many things that I know in that area. Don't even, just God's word is true. Focus on his word. Speak the word over your body. That word will, the only reason that Pastor Gil is still alive is we speak the word over his body. I cannot go into the details. His leg healed a long time ago when he fell on his leg because his body was weak. He broke his leg. And I said, do you want to go to the doctor? You want me to call 911? Because I really couldn't drag him down the car, in the car, right? He's like, no, put me in bed and fix it. Okay. Okay. First, we have to determine which bone you broke. And it's kind of hard without an x-ray machine. But we talked to the Lord. And I'm not saying don't do this. If God tells you to do it, then do it. If not, don't do it. All right, I'm not a great woman of faith. I just go moment by moment. And we set his leg. And I even created a little cast for it to keep it in the right place because he's an incomplete quadriplegic, which means he can't hold his leg straight up, his foot straight up. So I had to create a particular type of cast, not made out of plaster. And the Holy Spirit showed me how to do it. And within a very short period of time, that was good. But the problem that made him weak was not a problem that could be solved like that. And every day he gets stronger and stronger. It's like God is remaking his body. At 70 years old, by the time you see him again, you're going to see a man who's very spry. But it's been a little bit by a little bit because we have to rebuild, you know. When the house falls down, it takes a while. If you have a whole team doing it, you know, you just have me cooking up a storm. Why do we work so fast? But anyway, praise God. So that's tonight's lesson. This is what I wanted to share with you. I really didn't do this either. I just was sharing with Pastor because, you know, what comes in comes out. And we were just sharing back there. And he was like, oh, okay. You know, I came in the night service, and I was looking forward to Pastor, you know, sharing the word. And she's like, well, why don't you do it now? I'm like, whoa, God, you work really fast. I didn't say anything about anything. I didn't say, hey, did I teach? No, I didn't. God wanted you to hear this, and you're here because he wanted you to hear this. And he wants us to grow up as a church. I mean, you see what's going on. On TV with the war. You see that. Those people are going through some stuff. They're tying up their hands and shooting them in the head. Bam. That's it. Yes, we have this. My son tells me the other day, Mom, I'm going to give you an order. And I'm laughing. Yeah, okay. Lay it on me, son. like I'm going to do it, right? So, and he says, I don't want you to go down the corner. There's a bunch of gang members down at the corner. Oh, thank you for telling me, Matt. I'm going to go pray and ask the Lord what I should do about that problem. I said, Mom, don't go over there. If God tells me to go, I'm going. So the point of this is that we know him and we do what he tells us to do. We suffer with him. Whatever it is we have to go through it, and we finish our job. That's the whole point of it. That's it. We do what he tells us to do. We each have our assignment, and we have to finish it. We have to do it. It's not about how, you know, we can have this all comfortable life. Forget it. Sorry to burst your bubble if you were hoping for easy retirement. Ain't happening. Okay, we got work to do. We got work to do, seriously. If you're retired, that means you get to work harder. You got it, right? Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for your words. We thank you for the word, Jesus. You are life. You're the only reason that we live. And Father, because you've been so good, because you've done everything for us, we want to give the life that you have given it, give it back to you. Because only as we live the life you have given us can we absolutely be who you've created us to be, fulfill the mission. Because, Father, one day, no matter what happens, we're going to graduate. And we're going to go and be with you, and heaven is awesome. That is our home. We're citizens of heaven, not the earth, but you love the earth. Your son died for the earth, died for us sinful people, these sinful people. You want us, Father God, to reach others. You want us to push aside hatred and all the other things that would hold us back from sharing your word and forgiving people and moving on. Thank you, and thank you for the Holy Spirit. He's the one that tells us which direction to go, reminds us of the truth of your word, fills us with that constant power and strength to do whatever needs to be done. And this night, once again, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters and this opportunity that was made by you. I thank you for the most incredible pastors that are so humble. They really are, Lord. Their greatest character, Father God, beside the great love, how they reflect your love, is really that humility, how they just keep humbling themselves no matter what the circumstances. They keep bowing to you because they love you. Father, I can see why you chose them as the pastors of this church, because they are like Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you for this night and your words. I speak peace to every one of our brothers and sisters tonight. We thank you that the peace that passes all understanding, that it rules over their hearts and their minds. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as they go home, that you will continue to speak to them and make alive these things that were spoken this night. As they do the dishes, Father, as they cook their meals, Father, as they drive their cars, as they meditate upon your word, that word that lives in them will have great success. So we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.